I entitled this message, Followers of the Light, Followers of the Light. As Pastor called me Friday and asked me to do this message and lesson, Saturday was my first day off for my vacation. I had a wonderful first day off for the vacation. The Lord being there to help me to put all this together, it truly was a blessing. It truly was a blessing. I pray God would use it to bless all of us. Followers of the Light. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 14, we'll read, and he was casting out out a devil, Jesus was, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, these here were the Pharisees, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, just the finger of God, you think of the man of Gadara, he was possessed with demons. And the Lord pointed them demons into a herd of swine, you know. So that's all it takes, is just the finger of God to cast out devils. No doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man, Satan, armed, keepeth his palace, the kingdom of darkness here in this world, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he, that is Jesus Christ, the light of the world, shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh him from all of his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth the spoils. He that is not with me, that is with the light, is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. What happened in Newtown, Connecticut was truly heartbreaking. I can't imagine the grief and the loss that those parents, those people in that community felt that day. My heart was broken. And it still is for that tragedy. But it's my prayer, also the Lord used that to really stir up my heart up there at work. But it was also my prayer and desire that God would use that also to get people's attention. Whether our lost loved ones, neighbors, co-workers, or his people to follow the light. I believe what happened in Newtown was a manifestation of the character and nature of Satan the devil. I mean, you stop and think for a moment. Those were little five-year-olds. But that's how far Satan will go. That's how far he'll go. And again, I'm not trying to take away the guilt of that young man. But I really believe if that young boy wasn't possessed by the devil, that never would have happened. That never would have happened. The people I talked to concerning this Newtown tragedy, I told them, what's the cause? What's the cause? America, family, marriages, homes, schools, White House, Congress, Senate, military, etc., 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 have told the light to get out. Have told the light to get out. Why? Because John 3:19, Jesus told Nicodemus that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light. They love darkness. That's human nature. They love darkness rather than the light. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You know, there's a lot of people who say they don't hate God. But why then do they love darkness? You know, you can't love darkness and say that you love God. Neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. I told them that this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. As long as the light's there, the darkness won't be there, whether in the schools, the White House, families, homes, marriages, wherever the light is, the darkness will not be there. The darkness will not be there. We were in the break room, one employee who goes to a church. I ask him, what was the cause of the Newtown, Connecticut tragedy? He points down to the ground and says quietly, "Satan, the devil." I told him to speak up because there was like 10 to 15 people there in the break room. And then he says a little bit louder, "Satan, the devil." I tell him all we need is the light. There was another employee there in that break room who was sorrowful, speaking sorrowfully of the condition of America, and I tell them, all we need is the light. Another employee who goes to church, he comes in the break room. I ask him the same question, why? The Newtown, Connecticut tragedy, he says it was President Obama. Well, that's what he said. One of the employees in the break room laughs. But I told them President Obama is just one of the goods in the strong man's palace. That's all he is. He's just one of the goods in the strong man's palace. Another person spoke and said, this has been going on before Obama got in office. I then spoke up and told them all, because America keeps telling the light to get out. That's why the Barack Obamas keep getting in office. And I told them, we can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. We can't tell the light to get out and then complain about the side effects of the darkness. We can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. I feel for them. I feel sorry for them. Probably the majority of those people will remain in the kingdom of darkness for eternity. But first, next I want to talk to those that are saved, to those who have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. In Isaiah 9 and verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who truly experience seeing that great light, it will change them. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Hath that light shine. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "For God who commanded, he commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts." What a privilege to have the light of the glorious gospel to shine in your heart. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father. That's what we have the privilege to do, to keep giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. 1 Peter 2:9, I like this. "But you are a chosen generation before the foundation of the world, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him." That's what we're here for still, is to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Into his marvelous light. For me, when the day that he rescued me, I had nothing to offer God. I had nothing to offer him. To be a part of this glorious calling, I had no merit of my own. I certainly would have continued in the darkness like everyone else. And there are no exceptions. We all would. All I had to offer was a carnal mind, which was at enmity against God. That word enmity means a deep hatred against God. That's the carnal mind that we inherited from our father Adam. Eyes full of adultery, feet running to and fro to mischief, and hands that would shed innocent blood. All I had to offer God was an untamable tongue and a heart more deceitful above all things, just a filthy piece of good-for-nothing dirt, that in its best state was altogether vanity. But the day he rescued me, he did it with love. With love. That's a very powerful word, the love of God. It's a lot different than our love. It's a lot different. It has amazing side effects in people's lives, that love. If you turn me to Song of Solomon, and I want to talk about that love for a moment. This is where I got to spend the first day of my vacation. We'll read in chapter 2. Verse verses 1 through 4 declares, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. That's where I was yesterday. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to his banquet house. What a place. There's plenty of room in that banquet house for all of his people. He brought me into that banquet house, and his banner over me was love. Can we see that banner over us, which is love, his love? That love has a powerful effect. I enjoy meditating on the day he invited me into that banquet house and seeing that banner of love, which was over me, to see that banner of love. See, that's what helps strengthen that love for him, for his people. This world of darkness will continually drag us down and beat us up. But it's important that we keep visiting this banquet house so that he can remind us of his amazing love for us. See, that's what helps strengthen that love for him, or a passion or a zeal for his cause. Every time I revisit that banqueting house and see through faith that banner of love over me, it creates a desire to please him. It creates a desire to draw closer to him, which will create a spirit of surrender, submission. See, that's where all that comes from. It creates a desire or a will to rise above the darkness of this world, to rise above, and certainly creates a desire to glorify him. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, What he did for us, he did it out of love. In Galatians 5 and verse 5 and 6, we'll read, for we through the Spirit wait. So that's what we're doing while we're here. We're just waiting. We're waiting, but through the strength of the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, we're waiting for the hope. And that word hope means confident expectation of righteousness by faith. We're just waiting for a little while. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. But faith which worketh by love, he did it out of love. And in 1 John chapter 2, or in 1 John chapter 3, excuse me. And in verse 1, behold, stop and think. And go back. Behold what manner of love, that amazing love that he had for us. The Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Brother Mark said sometimes even God's children lose that joy of being a son of God. Well, as long as we keep revisiting that banqueting house and see that banner of love, that joy will always come back. It will always be there. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read in verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, not just love, but great love, wherewith he loved us, to love the unlovable is an amazing thing. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, this love, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, Paul describes this love also. And in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Why? Conquerors because of his love. through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall be able to separate us. It's an amazing love. There's a song I heard, and I just want to read the words of that song. It declares, My Lord, what love is this that pays so dearly, that I, the guilty one, may go free. Amazing love. Amazing love. Oh, what sacrifice the Son of God given for me. My debt he paid, and my death he died, that I might live. And now this love of Christ, it flows like a river. And all we can do is tell people, and even God's people, come, wash your guilt away. Live again, get revived in this love. It's an amazing love. In 1 John chapter 1, one in verse 6. But I want to read first in Solomon 1:4 declares, we will remember thy love more than wine. How? By keep revisiting that banqueting house and seeing that banner over us, which is love. But in 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him, we can't have it both ways, just like those out there that are lost. We can't say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. See, that's what he does in that house, that banqueting house. He also cleanses us, because we can get pretty messy out there in the world. And John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, see, so there's a choice there. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He'll light up your pathway also along the way. And Ephesians 5:1 declares, be you followers of God, or followers of the light, as dear children. You know what will keep that childlike attitude and spirit working in us? If we keep revisiting that banqueting house and see that banner over us, which is love. It has a way of keeping us humble, you know, helping us remember who we are and where we came from. That word followers, I looked that up in Vine's dictionary. Expresses union, expresses likeness or to copy. It expresses one going in the same way, to follow along with. It expresses to accompany a leader, the word follower. It expresses to conform to. And to pursue without hostility, not to follow him grudgingly. But if we keep revisiting that banqueting house, we keep revisiting, you ain't going to follow him with hostility. You're not, or grudgingly, or of necessity. You're going to do it out of love. You're going to want to. It's going to create an excitement in you. The word follower expresses union. I want to talk about union first, or agreement, or harmony. How can a child of God follow him if they don't agree with him? Right. You got to agree with him. And the only way you can do that is for your heart to remain tender and sensitive, to continually agree with him. How does your heart stay tender? Keep going back to that banqueting house and seeing that banner over us, which is love. A child of God from the heart must be fully persuaded and convinced that all of his ways and thoughts are right. All of them. I can't tell you how many times I've failed or fallen short. Many times. They are innumerable. But just because I fail or fall short doesn't change the fact or the reality that all of his ways and thoughts are right. See, that's conviction. That's being fully persuaded from the heart that God is always right. He's always right about everything. The word follower expresses likeness or to copy. Another word linked to that is like-minded, to think the same way, to think the same way that he does. The word liken or to describe is being like. Likeness, resemblance, likewise, in a similar way. In order to be a follower of God or a follower of the light, one must have a desire to be like him, just like him. If you turn me to Ephesians chapter 4. And to be like him from the heart. We'll read verses 20 through to 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God's children must always be ready to look in God's mirror and to see the things we need to put off. Then ask the Lord for forgiveness and help to put on the things he wants us to put on. The word followers expresses one going in the same way, going in the same way. Identical, exactly alike. Similar, not changing. The very same one or thing. That word follower. In order to be a follower of God, a child of God must know from the heart that God is immutable. He is immutable. Malachi 3:6 declares, I am the Lord and I change not. That is his express image, or his characteristics, or his attributes have never changed, nor will they. And the direction or the path that he is going, a child of God must seek to know what direction the Lord is going, then follow him. Follow him. In Jeremiah 6:16, I'll read quickly. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. He hasn't changed. It's still the old paths, even today. No matter how much the world has changed, he hasn't changed. It's still the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. The word follower expresses to follow along with, in the company of. I can tell you where he'll always be, in that banqueting house. He'll always be there. It's just like Brother Mark says, there in Revelation chapter 3, he stands at the door and knocks. For all of us, to keep coming back in there. You can't go wrong. Revisiting that banqueting house and seeing that banner over you, which is love. In order to be a follower of God, a child of God must learn to have and maintain. Learn to have. It's a learning process. And it's not easy. But you have to learn to have and maintain a real intimate relationship and fellowship with him. The word intimate means inward or internal. And in closing, the word follower expresses to accompany a leader. In order to be a follower of God, a child of God must know their position. To know our position. Sometimes I have to be reminded of that. A child of God must know our position and to know who's in charge. To know who's in charge. A child of God is not a leader or a commander. A child of God is a servant. There must be a personal realization of this, and respect and reverence of his authority. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Charlie, will you lead us in a word of prayer?